Hello and you're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. And it is championship time. The championship is coming up this weekend. Most people don't realise it because of how rushed probably the season is. But yeah, the championship is starting this weekend with the Ulster Championship games. Of course, Cavan against Monaghan, which should be an entertaining encounter. You have the Connacht Championship as well, the Leinster Championship and the Munster Championship. And also there's the Allianz Hurling League final and the LGFA finals at the weekend as well. So action-packed weekend. I'm delighted to be joined by John McMahon for the JMAC podcast to discuss this weekend's game. So John, being a pro Cavan man yourself, a weekend to start the championship involving your own county against the fiercest arrivals of Monaghan. So what a way to start.
Hi Matthew, good to be on the show again, and I really look forward to chatting to you today. And it's great to be on again. You do sterling work, and I heard on the other day you're mentioned on the RTE podcast. I think it was Jackie Hurley or some of the big dogs mentioned it. So fair play, the work you're doing is definitely being credited. And don't know did you spot that? I must send it on to you if you watch the RTE GA podcast from last week. So fair play, my man, and delighted to be on with you. We're looking forward to the game on Sunday now. Monaghan, obviously the biggest rival that we have. It's a local derby. They're only down the road from us. You could really throw a stone and you'd hit the likes of Clonus. We're so close. So it's hard to believe, as you say. Obviously with the league finals being on there last weekend, and you know, obviously the ferocious games we had on Sunday, like obviously Dublin and Derry, and I suppose hopefully this weekend those follow suit and we have some good battles. But yeah, like it's quick, I suppose, on the players. You're hearing a lot of teams with players being injured, and I suppose the quickness and sharpness of games. And you know, I wonder, like I'd love to know from a player point of view, are they like loving the amount of games that's happening week on kind of thing? But it's fast, it's ferocious, and I suppose it's something we really will need to acclimatize, because it doesn't look like it's going to be changing. But no, it's hard to believe it is championship this weekend. Unfortunately, we just at the minute don't look like we have the weather for championships. So hopefully maybe the weather at the weekend improves. But you know, we're looking forward to it on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. So actually, on the first point you made about the RT podcast, I think Rory O'Neill actually mentioned me, I think, a few weeks ago about the Cork footballers.
Well, you're on again.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I'll have to go back through the podcast and stuff like that. So it is brilliant that I'm being mentioned and other people are being mentioned. It shows the Trojan work being done across the GA circles as well, across these accounts. So brilliant to see. And yeah, I suppose the championship is starting after the league finals last weekend. You mentioned the ferocious nature of Derry and Dublin last week. There's been a few probably uproars in many ways on the Sunday game, on podcasts about the fact that the league finals are happening just before the championship even begins. Like, I think Seamus and Aaron had that discussion on Aaron's podcast during the week as well about players not getting the sufficient amount of rest. And I think that speaks volumes throughout the GAA community and stuff like that, and the season is condensed. Do you think in general that the championship is starting too quick, and the fact that there isn't much build-up to the championship this week? I think Kieran McCarthy tweeted during the week as well, you'd hardly know the Cork footballers are up against Limerick this weekend with the little coverage that's going on with the matches in general in the championship. So do you think that's a worry?
Yeah, no, it is. And I suppose, and I know we don't always like to give out, and we suppose we like to kind of stay positive, but it's kind of like it does feel like it is fairly rushed, and it's kind of like the championship's here and it's kind of upon us, really. But it's it does feel like it's a bit rushed, and it does feel like it's a bit condensed, and it's certainly like we're kind of like rushed at something that we nearly don't need to rush to a degree. And obviously, I know we're trying to help the club game as best we can with games and release the county players, and you know, the scheduling. And I know it can be a nightmare for people, the higher powers, and organising at times, but. It does feel like it's kind of week on, week off. And I suppose, like, as you say, like the PR around the games, like, is there even much time to get even kind of player interviews done and get kind of manager insights and get kind of, you know, a bit of a buzz and a bit of excitement going for the game? Because obviously everyone, of course, is aware that we are playing Monaghan in Clonus on Sunday, and they're obviously the flags are up, the buzz is happening. But it does feel like it is kind of rushed, and it kind of just feels like it's like, you know, bang, bang, bang. But I just don't think we need to, I suppose, have like that. I think there you could have your 2 week break, and maybe, like I said, what I did find, I was obviously watching Off the Ball there last weekend, and I was watching the interviews with all the managers after the games, and literally Desi Dolan was saying after Westmeath bet down that you know, the Westmead lads couldn't even go out and enjoy it after. They couldn't even have a couple of pints after the game or go out and have a bit of crack. So it does go to show we probably are rushing things a bit. I think there's a lot to be said for giving the players a 2-week break, because I always said to you, Matthew, if we didn't have the players, we wouldn't have the product. So, yeah, it definitely does feel rushed. I think it can be very tough for the players, but I'd love to get, like, obviously, like, I know obviously county players kind of have to be very closed books these days, unfortunately. I'd love to get their insight in terms of what to make of the game on game kind of thing. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. But look, it's like anything else in life. It's here now. Doesn't look like it's going to be changing anytime soon. So we just have to adapt to it.
Yeah, exactly. So like it's a big topic of discussion this week. And Denise, hi to Denise coming into the podcast today. She says, even if the Football All-Ireland was mid-August, the week of the LGFA finals, it would get more attention for LGFA and give the players a rest period. In fairness, yeah, I think that could be looked at in fairness. But at the same time, I think me and Seamus discussed it on my own podcast last week as well about the pre-season competitions and probably the meaningless nature of them. And considering, like, if you ban the preseason competitions, you could put the league mid-January and then have a 2-week or at least a week rest for players in preparation for the championship. And as Desi Dolan rightly said about Westmead, like, you couldn't go for points or you couldn't go celebrating on the streets of Mullingar after a brilliant Division 3 win over Down, because they're playing this weekend against Wicklow. So, like, a lot of change need to be done in the GA in general. But I will say the split season is probably the right way to go about things. They do have the right idea, because clubs need as much time as intercounty at the same time. But the rush nature needs to be fixed.
Yeah, sorry, Matthew, you're just breaking up there. But no, it's definitely, it's, you can hear me okay, yeah?
Yeah, all good.
You can hear me okay, yeah?
Yeah,
perfect. Yeah, no, sorry, I just didn't get the end of that. But no, it is definitely a good point you make. And I suppose, like, again, you could make an argument as well. No, obviously, Desi Dolan, when you're the manager of a county team, you kind of have to really kind of set your stone. But it does go to show, like, you see in the likes of the rugby and, you know, like, the players maybe have a couple of cans after the game. Kind of does go to show, like, the GA players probably do get the short end of the stick in terms of, you know, being able to enjoy themselves and the serious nature of the GA. So it is kind of unfortunate the Westmead couldn't even go out and, I suppose, enjoy it. But look, it is game on game. It's a full weekend of fixtures this weekend, I suppose. But look, I suppose people, like, you know, everyone's kind of creatures of nature, and, you know, they're kind of, you know, creatures of habit even. Like, people love to kind of stick into the routine and, you know, the normal stuff that we had years ago. But look, as I said, it's here to stay. We have to kind of get on with it. But yeah, it definitely doesn't feel like there's much respite for kind of players or management teams. So, Calvin, from there and the things, I suppose, touching on a couple of seconds, we had that 2 weeks from the Fermanagh game. So, you know, we have had 2 weeks, so it's not like we've just had the 1 week. So the 2 weeks, hopefully, fingers crossed, have benefited us. But we'll wait and see on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. So we will get into the games, obviously, enough about discussing calendars and stuff like that. And we will discuss the Ulster Championship, first of all, before we get into the Monaghan and Cavan game. We'll discuss the bracket here. So this is the bracket, the official bracket for the Ulster Championship this season. So you have Monaghan against Cavan in the preliminary round, as you can see on the left-hand side of the screen there. The winners of that play Tyrone, and they're on the same side as Derry and Donegal. And then you look at the other side of the draw. Basically, three sides that are right as of now in the Tarleton Cup at this present moment in time, and Armagh. So you would expect Armagh to get to the final, but with Down losing last weekend, we'll have to see how they bounce back from that defeat in Croke Park. And we will get on to the first game. It is John's Cavan going to Monaghan, going to Clonus in the Ulster Senior Football Championship preliminary round on Sunday, 4 p.m. live on RT2 and BBC2 Northern Ireland. So two channels to watch the game. So you could choose your analyst. That's brilliant to see, actually. You could choose the BBC analyst. Would Oisín McConville be? Well, actually, Wicklow are playing, aren't they, against Westmead that day, so he won't be on. But other analysts, I'm sure, will pop on BBC Northern Ireland. Of course, Michael Murphy could be on as well. RT could be boring. So you have the choice of going to BBC2 Northern Ireland, lad. So yeah, big game for Cavan, John. And considering actually the Alliance League rankings that I put on my Instagram last week, Monaghan are 10th and Cavan are 11th. That's actually closer than most people probably perceive going into this game. So yeah, it's a close one to call.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was just laughing there when you're saying it was on our BBC and RT. We couldn't get a league game on TV throughout the league. So it's good to see we're finally getting a bit of coverage. But of course, it's going to be championship. Of course, it's going to be coverage off it. But no, look, this is going to be tight on Sunday. There is no getting away from it. Obviously, Monaghan did have a poor league campaign, and I think they'll admit themselves that they just didn't perform and didn't play well. And obviously, Cavan, you know, from our point of view, I think our last three league games were just very, very, very poor, very poor performances. I know, obviously, when we bet you guys up in Cork, that like, okay, we were safe at that stage, and maybe the mindset was, okay, we're safe. Like, do we kind of maybe start weakened teams, or do we say, you know, do we pack up the tent and kind of go home kind of thing? So if kind of feels like Cavan did to a degree, we just didn't perform. And I keep saying it, like only for Paddy Lynch at times, you know, probably throughout the league, Cavan probably would have struggled. So we're just so blessed and lucky to have him playing for Cavan, and he's flying at the minute. But this is the vital right that goes on for years and years and years. And unfortunately, I was watching highlights there of the COVID game in 2020 when Ray Gallagher kicked the last minute free to send it to get the victory for Cavan, obviously the year of the one Ulster. And then Cavan would have bet them in 2019, and years previous to that, O'Bannon would have had our number. So it really does go down the middle. Monaghan will be mad to put one over, especially after us getting the victories in recent times. So it's just, yeah, it's going to be very tight. Monaghan people are actually really, really friendly, nice people. But God, when it comes to football, when it comes to passing that white line, things change fairly swiftly. But looking into it, I was obviously looking at the Monaghan team. The Monaghan team was released there about half an hour ago on Twitter. So obviously Rory Beggan, that's the breaking news that he's going to be on the bench this weekend. And obviously Rory, we know about the experience of that man. He's been Monaghan's number one for the last 11 years. So he's a remarkable goalkeeper, and obviously top of the left, Conor McManus, 15 starting. So two men that, you know, need very little introduction. I think they're going to be play huge parts. It'd be interesting to see Manzi's role on Sunday. Obviously, Manzi, you know, he's probably coming near the end at this stage, but he probably still is worth at least 5 or 6 points to the Monaghan outfit on Sunday. So them pair boys will definitely need a lot of watching. And obviously, you have the likes of Darren Hughes in midfield. The time is Darren Hughes and Jack McCarron full forward. Be interesting, could Jack McCarron turn up with Sunday as well? We obviously see how well he does in the league. You know, be interesting to come championship, how he'll be fixed. Micheál Bannigan on the bench, I heard he was injured. Be interesting to see if any kind of part to play on Sunday. And then from our own, then the things from the Cavan, the things most notable absentees for Sunday is no Darren McPhee. I think Darren McPhee is due to get an operation, so he's out. Killian Clark, I am not sure. I think he may be injured. He's not in the 26. And then Jason McLaughlin is not in the 26 either. So I don't know where both men injured. I'm not sure. Jason McLaughlin was watching the Fermanagh game from the stands the last day out, and Killian Clark got subbed off at half time. So it'll be very interesting to see. It's a nice kind of blend of a team mix kind of on Sunday. Like, you have a lot of kind of youth and experience. Obviously, you know, Pádraig Faulkner, Kieran Brady, joint captains, and then a full forward line of Keane Madden, Paddy Lynch, and Oisín Brady. So there is kind of nice variety in the team. There's a few men that I probably, if I was to make a guess, probably won't start on, are due to be starting, but probably won't start. I can probably see maybe Keen Riley, cornerback for Cavan, potentially losing out on Sunday. I could see Oisín Kearn and Den midfield there. I could potentially see him just losing out if I was to make a guess at it. And who comes in for him, I would be thinking potentially Luke Fortune, and maybe who else in midfield there, potentially Conor Rehill, maybe in a kind of switch around there. But it'll be very interesting to see, and there's Conor Brady maybe go to midfield. So yeah, I don't think the team that starts with Cavan probably will start. So I think there'll be a bit of kind of swapping and change, and maybe just when the national anthem's happening or when the teams are doing the parade, I think there'll be a few juggling balls. But look, it definitely whets the appetite.
It's definitely the sign of championship when late changes come in. And going to be late changes. Cavan, as you mentioned there, and I looked at the Monaghan bench in general. You mentioned Rory Beggan, that is the main story. Micheál Bannigan's actually number 21. I don't know, is that an injury or what's not? But if he's fit enough, he probably has to start for Monaghan as well. So you'd expect him to make a few changes. David Garland starting a corner forward, which is an interesting one. He was the top scorer of the Sigurdsson Cup, I think it was, earlier on the year for UCD. So he's going to be a big player for Monaghan. Jack McCarron is going to be interesting, as you mentioned there. But I think the main news, as you mentioned beforehand, before we got on there this morning, is Rory Began is on the bench for Monaghan after his NFL exploits. So you would expect him to start. There's no doubt about it. Darren McDonald has done well to an extent in Division 1 for Monaghan, but you would expect Rory Began to start this game. And what a game to start it against your rivals, Cavan.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, look at it. It's, there's no point. Like I'm probably hard not show my emotion, but no, Rory Began, my God, when I think it was Niall McCoy from the RTE tweeted that there this morning. I was probably, yeah, it's like anything else. It's probably more of a task now for the Cavan management team of players. Can you get up for now? And I suppose, obviously, the news did break on Monday that Rory Began, there was talk of him being back for Monaghan. I think he is going very well over in New York, or sorry, America, and things are going to plan for him. So, you know, is he back for this game and the next game? Who knows? Or I'd be very interested to see what his input is. So that will be very interesting. But, oh, my God. What a man to bring back into your setup. Darren McDonald, in fairness, I was listening to Kieran Hanratty on the Gaelic Life podcast there yesterday, and he was basically saying that Darren McDonald, he had a relatively okay kind of league. So you have to be expecting Rory Began to be between the sticks. You'd be expecting Rory to be doing the parade now on Sunday. He's a huge addition. So much experience. He just has an absolute... Oh, he's a right foot to die for. Like I've never really seen a boot like his... ever really, to be honest with you. He's such a leader for that Monaghan team. And obviously, I think, you know, when Ray Gallagher and the boys probably seen him when they seen the Monaghan team come in this morning, and obviously seeing Began on the bench, you know, probably alarm stations to a degree. But to be honest with you, I'd say they were well prepared. Once they got word on Monday that Began, there was even talk of Began, you have to be thinking they were planning accordingly for it. And I think the way Monaghan and Cavan games have been the last year have been so close, been so tentative, you know, so much on the line. I think so much will come down to free taking, like it did in 2020, like it did in 2019, even 17, 13, 15. So I think Began could at least, he will be so, so important. You know, obviously, match fitness, I'm presuming he's been looking after himself. That'll be no problem. So I think it'll be the very game where Began will be needed. Conor McManus will be needed. Paddy Lynch will be needed. You know, Ray Gallagher, you know, obviously he's retired now. Obviously, Paddy Lynch has taken over the free taking role. But yeah, it definitely adds a huge string to the bow, Matthew.
It definitely does, yeah. And like you mentioned free taking there, like Paddy Lynch will be absolutely massive as well. Division 2 top scorer. Like how crucial will he be for Monaghan to deal with? Because like he was in excellent form in Division 2. And how important actually is it for Cavan in general for others to step up other than Paddy Lynch? Because you see Garrow McHearn retire in the off-season, or has left the panel. Conor Mine has left the panel in the off-season. Darren McVitie, as you mentioned, is injured, an excellent footballer there as well. How important is this for other footballers? Like Kieran Brady, to be fair, has done really well for Arva in the club championship and for Cavan in Division 2. But how important is it for others to step up other than Paddy Lynch?
Yeah, Matthew, look at it. It's key. And I suppose I was saying this to Thomas Niblock after the meet game there about a month ago. Like it is so important that Paddy Lynch does get help. And, you know, we do see a full forward line there of Cian Madden, Paddy Lynch and Oisin Brady. But I can't see Cian Madden starting in that very position. I'd be very surprised if he starts corner forward. So, you know, is it a full forward line of Paddy Lynch and Oisin Brady on Sunday? We'll have to wait and see. Yeah, it's just been unfortunate for Paddy, and like he really has had to do basically everything going forward for Cavan. I know James Smith has been very good as well coming from midfield, but we have been very reliant on Paddy Lynch in the scores. And as you say, have you rightly put out or pointed out that Paddy was the top scorer in Division 2, and you know he had a great league campaign, but realistically there wasn't much other scorers really coming from the Cav end of things, and that would be a concern for Sunday, because realistically Meade done a very good job on Paddy in the league and basically bottled him up. And I'm looking at a full back line here from Monaghan of Ryan Wiley, Kieran Duffy and Ryan O'Toole, and you're presuming Ryan Wiley probably will pick him up. I'd say Kieran Duffy, it'd be kind of interesting. More than likely the pair of boys will be, maybe Wiley might be in front of him and Duffy might be on him completely. But I think if Monaghan do bottle him up, and I was only saying this a couple of minutes there earlier on, that I think if they bottle and they will bottle Paddy Lynch up, there is no doubt about it. I struggle really to see where Cavan can get the scores from, because as I said to maybe Oisin Kearn and Castrohan there, Oisin has a serious left foot. He's a club mate of mine. He's a great footballer. Be interested to see can he chip in with a few scores. We see Jared Smith there as well. Kieran Hall of Brady's listed at 10, but again, will he start to play around that area? I'm not too sure. Will he be kind of be in the around the half, kind of half back in the line? So look, I think Oisin Brady, not to put kind of too much pressure on him, but he will, if he does start on Sunday, he will need a huge performance. We really will need to see a big game from him. Oisin, there's lots of football in Oisin. He's a Killigarry club man there. He's a great footballer. So he will really need to be top of the pops. But yeah, look, it's so unfortunate because Darren McVitie, obviously we know about the power and prowess of that man. If he obviously he's getting an operation, he is out on Sunday. But yeah, bar Paddy Lynch throughout the league, and hopefully for Sunday someone else can step up because Paddy will badly need help. And James Smith from midfield there could give him a good hand, but obviously James would be kind of, you know, operating out the field and kind of, you know, doing a lot of work out the field, and we won't be hoping for him to be up the field the whole time, but he will need to be doing a lot of hard work again. But yeah, he will need a lot of help, Matthew. There is no doubt about that.
Two kind of angles I was thinking about as well. Number one, actually, you mentioned Oisin Brady got the winner against Cork as well, so that's why I remember him. Like, he's a very good footballer on his day in Vernus. 2 points that I wanted to mention as well. There was a guy on the bench that I noticed for Cavan, Tristan Noah Kaufman. I think he played for Arva in the club championship. He played midfield alongside Kieran Brady. Could he come into the team? Could he add something?
He could, Matthew. Tristan's a fantastic athlete. He would have played a lot of League of Ireland football. I think he played for like Longford Town and a few other teams. So he's experienced there as well. And he might have even played underage soccer for Ireland as well. Tristan, he's a very, very good athlete. I don't know. Like, I was obviously watching all the Cavan games throughout the league, and I just don't think Ray sees Tristan in his plans at the minute. Obviously, he is a very good athlete, but I just don't know. I don't think he got any minutes against Fermanagh, and he's kind of been in and out of coming on as substitute appearances. So I just don't think Ray really sees him part of his plans, and that's probably being perfectly honest. And obviously Tristan, like he is a great player, and he, as you say, he did have a very good kind of club campaign for Arva throughout that whole season. Really, he was fantastic, but unfortunately, he just doesn't look like he's part of Ray's plans.
It's unfortunate. Like, he seems like a very good footballer in general. But before we get into the predictions as well, like, Eamon Murray, he's a big guy in the backroom team for Cavan. I think I've seen an article on Twitter about his influence on Ray McGallaghan being an incoming coach, more or less. Ray McGallaghan's a good coach, but he is still young and he needs that guidance. And Eamon Murray is definitely one guy to do that. He's won two All-Irelands in a row in LGFA for Meath. Like, how big has his influence been for Cavan this year, Eamon Murray? Because, like, he seems like a good guy from the outside.
Yeah, Eamon's a top class coach. He's an unbelievable amount of experience. He's a good guy, man. He'll add so much to that backroom team. And obviously we've a star studded backroom team, but Eamon, he brings experience. He's a winner. He's a very kind of cool, calm, collected man along the sideline there. He doesn't get too overdrawn by the occasion. I think he'll do a lot of homework and study on Monaghan this weekend. So Eamon, he's a great addition. As you say, obviously great experience, and obviously Ray being, you know, his first year as Cavan manager, like he'll add a lot to Ray, and he'll give him all the advice on the sun. So he's been a great addition this year. Obviously we know the success that he had with the Mead Ladies, and it'll be very interesting does in the future. Obviously, like, you know, is this a ceiling? Like, does he kind of want to be part of backroom teams, or will he take him in senior team? Would be very interesting. But yeah, Eamon's been a great addition. It's huge experience. Blessed to have McCavan, and in fairness, you know, Meade's loss was definitely Cavan's game, because my God, he was hot property when he finished up with the Meade Ladies.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, he was a brilliant manager in ladies football in general, and it's great to see him in Cavan in general. But before we get on to the predictions as well, another comment in from Denise. I'd go for a surprise Monaghan comeback in this game and hope they'll bring the intensity in the Dublin League game. I'd have a feeling, John, you don't like Denise after that.
I'd go for a surprise Monaghan comeback in this game. Yeah, look, but that's how title will be. And I think, you know, in 2020, when we were playing Monaghan in the COVID Championship, you know, they probably did really let us back into that game. Like, they were drifting at half time. I think they had 6 or 7 points up on us at half time. So they were in the ascendancy in that particular game. So they really did let us back into it. So is that going to be the same case on Sunday? Do Monaghan get out the traps really quick, and then at halftime, Monaghan, you know, Cavan come back into it? It'll be very, very interesting. So, yeah, from that point of view, it'll be interesting to see. But I think Monaghan will learn from the mistakes. I think Banty McEnany was over Monaghan that year with COVID, and Banty was very disappointed with how maybe Monaghan went about their business that second half. But I think Monaghan will be a fine, well-oiled machine. And then another key point in this as well, Marty Curry. He's Vinny's brother, obviously. Marty's in the back room, and sure, Marty Curry would have worked with Cavan for the last 3 or 4 years previous to this. So Marty will know the Cavan players inside and out. So that's probably an early word of pointer to do Monaghan on Sunday. So it'll be interesting. So Marty's a top-class coach, and we're forever indebted to him up here in Cavan. He's done sterling work with Castlehan and Cavan. So he's a great coach. So it'll be interesting. I don't think he likes me anyways, being from Longford and him. No, not at all. Longford people are absolutely fantastic. There's always a good bit of crack when there's a local derby there. We've always had your number, so we can't give out about you too much.
Exactly. Longford in Division 4 haven't nearly went up to Division 1. Like, that's just, you know, crazy. You can't be picky on small companies like that. But in fairness, like, Cavan and Monaghan, prediction time, like, I'm going to say Cavan will win this game, because I think Gaelic Game Fan TV, a comment on that video said, I think it was his video anyway, that if Cavan don't win this game, they never will win against a top quality opposition because of the games against Armagh, Tyrone down through the years as well. So you'd feel like with Monaghan going down to Division 2 and Cavan being on an upward trajectory, you would imagine Cavan will eye this game and say this is a chance to stamp our authority.
Yeah, like 100%, and I know obviously people can kind of everyone has opinions and bits and bobs like that, but I think this game, and I suppose the perfect thing you could basically say is after that Cork game against Hughes in the league, I think you nearly think, I wonder there's a lot of focus going into the Ulster Championship after that game, because I really do think obviously the hugeness of this game on Sunday is always going to be talked about, but I wonder, did focus nearly turn to Monaghan after that Cork game, because obviously the performances we put in after the Cork game were very, very poor. So, like, you know, you wonder, like, does focus just turn when we save ourselves in Division 2? It just looked like we started resting lads, and maybe lads got kind of breaks and bits and bobs. I know poor Faulkner missed the last couple of games, and wee bits and bobs like that. But look, I think as that commenter did say, like, we never win a big game. Like, it'll, you know, we got good wins this week, but it is obviously, it's a Division 1 team. We do need to start beating, and I suppose if we've any ambitions of, you know, getting up to Division 1, we really, as you say, will need to start beating some of these top class teams. Your Monaghan, your Armagh, your Roscommon's, and we could see Roscommon again next year. Jesus, hard to believe, same division again. But it is a good point, but it is, like, I think this on Sunday, and to be perfectly honest with you, I think I said this in Aaron's podcast at the very start of the year, stay put in Division 2 and beat Monaghan in the Championship. Anything after that, I genuinely would be happy, because I don't feel we're at Derry's level. It probably annoys me to say this, but I think Armagh is a good bit ahead of us as well. Derry's probably streets ahead of us at the minute as well. Donegal look like they're improving all the time. So, yeah, it's just being realistic. Win on Sunday, and then whatever happens after that, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, look, that was probably the main aim for most Cavan fans at the start of the season. But are you predicting your own Cavan to go on and win the game, or are you going for the rival in Monaghan?
Yeah, I look at it. I have to go with Cavan in this one. I'd love to see Cavan get the win. It would be great to see. It'd be great to get the win on Sunday. I think the supporters deserve it. You know, the Cavan fans will travel down to Clonus in their thousands. Very well supported team. Rain, hail, or sun, they'll always come out in fairness to them. So I think Cavan hopefully will win a cagey affair. I said at the start of the show, Monaghan will be absolutely mad to put one over us after the last couple of victories we've had against them. But it's a local derby. It's a Championship game. Fingers crossed all goes to plan for Cavan, and we get the win, because last week we finished off the league badly. You know, let's start the Championship well.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Cavan win as well, and hopefully for your sake they start the Ulster Championship as they did with the league this season. So it should be a very interesting game, obviously live on RT2 on Sunday. We'll move on to the Connacht Championship now, and this is the bracket of the draw there. So you have New York and Mayo in the quarterfinal. The winner of that plays Roscommon, and then you have Galway, London, Leitrim and Sligo all on the same side of the draw. So no lopsided draws this year. So no like unexpected team in the Connacht final this year, unlike last year. So you will have Mayo or Roscommon against Galway, more or less predicted anyway, to be the Connacht final. But we'll start off with the game on Saturday, live on GAA Go. It is London against Galway and Ruislip on Saturday at 3 p.m. Like, I know it's a trip over for Galway. They did struggle in parts in the league, but anything other than a Galway win here would be absolutely crazy.
Yeah, no, I think Galway, as I said in my own podcast there on Monday night matches, that I think it's stretched legs for Galway in this particular game. I think it could be a cricket score, really. Do we see the likes of Shane Walsh and Damien Comer appear in this game? I'm not too sure. Like, does Galway just have enough on the team, of course, to do?
I don't think they're in the 26, John.
They're not in the 26. And to be honest with you, there's probably no point, because I think they won't be needed on Saturday. Look, Matthew, it's like anything else. It's provincials. It's just so unfair in London. Neither team's going to learn anything from this game on Saturday. Sorry, tomorrow, Saturday. Neither team's going to learn anything. It's just going to be stretched leg up exercise for Galway. And it's just really by how much. It's so unfortunate for your New Yorks and Londons this weekend, because New York are playing Mayo on Sunday, and Cavman, Alan Lamar's, obviously we touched on that game now in a few minutes, but he's managing them, and you know, they just really don't have a hope. It is so unfortunate, but this game tomorrow, yeah, you could be looking at a 15-20 point win for Galway. I'd be very surprised if London even get near them, but it's just unfortunate. Michael Maher's doing unbelievable work with the London lads. He's putting so much time and effort into it. But you'd love to think, is there a bit of a rethink needed regarding all this, or is there something else we could do maybe to, you know, bring New York and kind of, you know, New York and London into this kind of Connacht Championship without getting these drubbings? Because, you know, Galway's going to go over there, Pádraig Joyce is going to learn absolutely nothing, maybe bar, you know, getting one or two lads out and, you know, letting off the shackles a bit. But it's unfortunate, Matthew. It just feels like a bit of a waste of time for both teams, but there you go.
It does, to be honest. There is some very good young talent in the Galway team. I think Tom O'Callaghan's on the bench, Rory Cunningham's on the bench, so expect them maybe to run asunder this London team. It is unfortunate, as you mentioned there. They had a good season a couple of years ago, London. They drew against Laois at the Taliesin Cup last year, which shouldn't be forgotten, but Galway should ease past in this game. And I think the less said about that game, the better, to be honest with you, because there's not much to discuss.
Sorry, one little thing. Like, it isn't so, like, me and you probably for this conversation so many times, it's so unfortunate. Like, this is our product and this is what we're talking about. And me and you will be having the same conversation next year. We'll have the same conversation 2026. We'll have the same conversation 2027. The problem's right in front of us. Surely we can fix it. But yeah, go on ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be, if we're going to discuss even more one-sided games in general. And I don't know, will this be a one-sided game as such? It is doing New York against Mayo in the Bronx on Sunday at 8 p.m. on GAA Go, because Mayo are an excellent team in Division 1, no doubt about it. But New York, it's far away from home for the Mayo lads. I know it's a holiday and stuff like that, but it is far away from home. And New York are the unknown. Obviously, London play in the league, so we know who are playing for them. But for New York, I still don't know who is actually going to line out for them. I know Johnny Glynn's got back to Galway. He's playing with the Galway Hurlers this year. Adrian Varley, I think, is going to be on the team, but that hasn't been confirmed yet. Mark Ellis from Cork, I'm not sure. Like, that's the thing with New York, we're not sure. The only thing we do know, obviously, as you mentioned previously, is Alan O'Mara is coming in as manager. So, first of all, before we dive into the game in general, what can Alan O'Mara, as a Cavan man yourself, add to New York from the success last year?
Alan's a top class fella. Alan is. He played in goals for the under-21s in 2011. Obviously, he won an Ulster title, got the ball rolling with that kind of under-21 success, the start of a four-in-a-row journey. He would have played for Cavan seniors, I think, from the years of 13, 14 and 16. And then he departed the panel after 16. But Alan, his attention to detail would be fantastic. Obviously, he's had his struggles in the past and his mental health, and he was one of the first GAA players to kind of talk about his story. And obviously, fair play to him, and he released the book and everything. So he's a great kind of he'd be a great man. Obviously, for like the mindset of the players and checking in with players and looking after players. So I think his commitment to the cause would be fantastic. I think he's in America. you could be, I'd say, probably the last maybe 6 or 7 years at this stage. He's been there quite some time, and he obviously has a fiancé over there, so his life built over there at this stage, and obviously a big loss to Cavan football. So, but Alan, yeah, his attention to detail would be brilliant. He'd be a very, very nice lad. He'd be a great fella to work with. I'd say the New York lads are, you know, working really well with him. And obviously, like, he's... You know, he's, again, kind of Greg Galligan, he's cut his teeth with management. I don't think he was managing really anywhere before. I know he played a bit with the Longford New York footballers over there, out there, and he was relatively successful with them too. So, yeah, I think he'll give the job a really good crack. Again, probably unfortunate that he's coming up against Mayo on Sunday. You know, Mayo will be coming in hot and heavy on Sunday. But look, I wish him all the best, because obviously when he was playing for Cavan, and obviously the work he was doing right here regarding mental health and talks and bits and bobs, he was really, you know, leaving no stones unturned. So, yeah, he'd be a really, really good fella, and I really just hope it kind of does go well for him. And it'd be interesting to see, like, does he do 2-3 years with him, or is it a project for him, or does he do this year and finish up? So it'll be very interesting to see what his input and role is. But, yeah, he'll do well.
Yeah, exactly. Seems like a very good guy. He was interviewing a few people on the GPA as well. I was actually doing an FYP on gambling in Irish sport, and he interviewed Martin Stackpool from Kerry. That was a brilliant interview. Listen, if you haven't already, yeah. And he's definitely a brilliant guy to know in the GA, no doubt about it. Another comment here from Denise about Mayo. I was very surprised to see Patrick Hoare on the bench after his performance against Monaghan. More than likely, that will change. So, like, then again, do they need to bring in Patrick O'Hara? But at the same time, like, New York brought Roscommon to the inch of their lives. I'm not sure off the top of my head what year it was. I think it was 16. I think it was 2016, actually, when Kevin McStay was over Roscommon, coincidentally, and they reached the league semi-finals. So New York brought them to, I think, a point or extra time that time. So could Lightning strike twice? Like, New York had a very good year last year, because obviously the Bronx is a very tough place to go for any team, no matter if it's Mayo, Galway, Roscommon, for any team.
Yeah, no, look, I was watching Kevin McStay, I think it was at the Connacht Championship preview, that off the ball done, and like he was very, very, like, focused, and he literally looked like he was kind of, he wasn't giving Tommy Rooney much of it. So I think they will be very focused going over there. And he did say, like, it's not a holiday. Like, they have to get the job done. Like, they can go out after and enjoy it themselves. But they're going over. It's business time for Mayo now. They're in the Connacht Championship. It's big stuff for them now. Mayo, obviously, Kevin McStay is in year two of that project. So I think they'll be really going over there with the intentions of having no blips or no F-ups, for want of a better phrase. I think he will be going over there to put in a big performance. Again, as you say, New York, probably surprise package. I know Michael Argue is playing for them. Michael Argue was on the Cavan team for the last couple of years and under 21. So he's a big, big man. He'd be a fellow clubmate of Alan O'Mara's, Ballybor Shamrocks here in Cavan. So Michael Argue will be starting on Sunday. I make no doubt about it. So he could be well used to some of the Mayo lads. But I think Mayo will go over there and do a professional job. I'd be very, like, look, I know Leitrim, obviously. Leitrim were kind of left with the tail between their legs last year. But no, I listened to Kevin McStay there. I think it was a Monday or Tuesday. They look like they're going to be doing a job. Look, it'd be great to see New York put in a big performance. Obviously, you know, obviously, I think Shane Carty, I don't think Shane Carty's about the New York team this year. He was playing for them last year. I remember I was talking to Shane Carty on the podcast. So I think they're minus the services of Shane, and geez, what a footballer Shane is. But yeah, I really do hope New York put in a performance, you know, that it's not a 15-20 point win for Mayo, and obviously everyone doesn't leave happy. But look, let's hope Alan, you know, gets a performance out of these lads, and no doubt he's been prepping all week for the Mayo onslaught. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. It'll be very interesting to see, actually, because New York had a brilliant year last year, obviously beating Leitrim, as you mentioned there, going over to Ireland to play against Sligo in the Connacht Championship. That was a brilliant occasion for them. And then coming close to Carlow, the Tottenham Cup, if many people forgot that. So, like, that was a brilliant year for New York, no doubt about it. And they're going to try and create more history again. But Mayo, like, the frank reality of this is, I know New York did well in fair play to them last year, but Mayo are not Leitrim. No disrespect to Leitrim, though, but Mayo are a Division 1 team. They didn't reach the league final. They'll be ready to go for this game. Kevin McStay said in the interviews, as you mentioned there, that it's not a holiday. They'll be primed to win this game, surely.
Ah, yeah, Matchroom. Like it's probably kind of goes without saying that they will go over there. I think they will get a performance. I suppose obviously anyone kind of tuning in or potentially watching it, like will be obviously looking out for all. Can New York do it? Or you know, might be getting a bit excited looking at the odds, looking at this. But I think realistically, Mayo will go over there. They'll get the job done. They'll push themselves into the O'Connor Core semi final. I think wouldn't they be able to get over the line on Sunday? So. Yeah, like so, and obviously they've won the Pro Verse coming after last year as well. But no, I think it will be it would be fantastic to see, like, and obviously the dreamers and you know of this life, and you know it'd be fantastic to see, you know, New York kind of, you know, try get something out of the game. But I think from Alan Lamar's point of view, he's probably looking. I'm resuming this is a project for him with New York. If he's going to be there for the foreseeable, it's probably maybe a 2 to 3 year contract that he has. So he's probably looking to just get. Run, lads, see what way they can kind of set up. Obviously, Mayo's a fantastic team, a fantastic outfit, so well coached. So he's probably just looking to try out lads and see how he gets on. But look, we wish him the best luck because no doubt he's putting a lot of work into it. So the very best luck to him and Michael Argue and all the lads.
Yeah, exactly. It's brilliant to actually see you got an insight into the New York team that Michael Argue is in the team, because I wouldn't have known that before coming onto the podcast. So a great plug there. But we'd have to expect Mayo to go on and win that game. And in the other kind of quarterfinal, which I don't know, is this the closest one to call? Leitrim against Sligo on Carrick and Shannon at 3:30 on Sunday. Obviously not live anywhere, so don't click any scammy links anywhere around the internet. Unfortunately, it isn't shown live there. But Leitrim, obviously, Division 4 final last week, got a bit of a thumping off Leash and Grove Park. I don't know, will that affect their confidence going into this game? The game is in Carrick and Shannon, which should be a big onus for them to go on and win the game. But Sligo were very, very good in Division 3. Quietly very good, may I add, as well. They beat Westmeath. They were safe for a long way in Division 3 as well. They finished 4th in the league. You would imagine Sligo will have too much.
Yeah, like it's definitely an interesting game, and obviously Leitrim, unfortunately, you got a bit of a lesson against Leash there last weekend in the Division 4 final, and obviously the heads might be down, but obviously Leitrim had a great win against the Mayo lads there during the week in the Under 20 Championships. So big shout out to the Under 20s, but I think this will be a tight game. Obviously Mickey Graham and Andy Moran, they know all about Sligo. I think Andy Moran would know a lot about Sligo, obviously playing a lot against them over the years, and Mickey will plan accordingly for them. So I think it'll be tighter than a lot of people think. I think Sligo probably still will get the job done, and obviously they are still moving very well under McAtee. But I think Leitrim could be the surprise kind of package. Obviously, it's home advantage for them. You know, Carrick and Shannon, a very kind of tough, tricky place to go to. It's a funny one, like, you know, Mickey Graham, like the way he can kind of get players up for games and kind of read into tactics, and you know, better man maybe to try kind of upset the result. But it could just be the very, very game. You could just be going about your business on Sunday and you look on Twitter and it could go to extra time or it could go to a draw. So I don't know. It could be tighter than a lot of people think. Do Sligo have that better quality players? You know, it is an absolute fortress there down there for Leitrim. You know, Andy Moore and Mickey Graham, they'd love to kind of put one over Sligo, get a bit of a coup. But I think Sligo might just have that bit more quality. And obviously Leitrim minus the services of Keith Barron this year. Keith's a huge loss at Leitrim set up. My God, he had an incredible year there last year. And obviously Nevin O'Donnell in the between the six, former Cavan player. He done quite well at Croke there last weekend. But they'll need all of him this weekend. But I think Sligo might just pip it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, actually. Like, Sligo do have good players of their own. Sean Carabine, Niall Murphy. Alan McLaughlin has done well in the last few games. I've heard as well. Will other players start the team? Will Pat Spillane start? Well, you obviously will. He's a very good footballer as well. Like, Leitrim, the last time these sides met in the championship, actually, in Carrick and Shannon, I think this game went extra time in the Talton Cup and went all the way to penalties. So you would expect Leitrim to put up a fight here, but then again, like, Sligo has so much quality. There's no doubt about it. Like, in Division 3, they only lost to Clare because they were down to 30 men, I think, in the league. They lost to Down. They did beat Westmeath, which was a huge win for them, huge confidence booster. So, looking at them results, it's hard to see Leitrim win the game, despite them having a very good campaign in Division 4. Like, Sligo deserve their credit and fairness.
Ah, yeah, they do. Like, and obviously, as you say, like Pat Spillane, like, what a remarkable footballer. And obviously, the work that Tony McAtee Tony McEntee is doing at Sligo, like, has to be applauded. And, you know, Tony McEntee, we know about the, you suppose, the coaching, and, you know, him as a player, he could go elsewhere. He could get a nice kind of cushy wee gig with some other county team, go in as a backroom team, but he took it on. He's took the Sligo job, and obviously him as manager, and obviously, like, sometimes the resources and, you know, some the lower down kind of division teams can get at times. So he took the job on, fair play to him. But look, I think he will get the job done on Sunday. But then again, Matthew, you know, it's when you're coming up against the likes of your Mayo's and Galway's and Roscommon, it's just unfortunately where Roscommon's road ends, unfortunately. And we've seen so many kind of tankings over the years, it's like, who have been on the receiving end of. So probably goes into this kind of maybe unfairness to a degree that's in these kind of provincial championships. But yeah, I think, as you say, Sligo, with the quality of players they have, holding their own in Division 3, I think, unfortunately, from the Leitrim end of things, I think Sligo will just have a bit too much for them.
They should do, yeah. And before we move on to the other provincial games in general, look, I wanted to ask you about Sligo, because, like, a lot of people in predictions videos, that's been out, championship things as well, just getting ready for the season and all that. A lot of people actually predicted the Tailteann Cup winners would be Sligo. What do you think of that? Do you think Sligo could win the Tailteann Cup? Obviously, they will play Galway if they beat Leitrim in the kind of quarterfinal, but yeah, you'd imagine they'd lose that. But would you think they're favourites enough for the Tailteann Cup, considering, like, they made a good account of themselves in the Sam Maguire last year, and they reached the semi-final when they were in it the previous year before that? So there's every chance they could go on and win it.
There is every chance, but Down's Tailteann this year, I think, aren't they? It results dependent in Ulster, isn't it? I think. Yeah,
as I think stands,
I think Down probably would be favourites going into the Tailteann. But look, no reason why Sligo couldn't get get to the final and win it, because I remember Calvin did play them in 2022 in Croker that day, and like, they really did give us like a good run for the money. And obviously Sligo, like, Calvin went to Sligo a couple of times. I remember going up to Markfitts Park a few times, and God, it's a very tight venue. It's a tough place to go. So I would not be surprised. And again, it would be great to see if there were, you know, if they were to go on and try win the Tailteann or even get to the final, because we do talk about the provincials, and, you know, realistically, Matthew, after Sunday, Sligo's business in the county championship is probably done, because, you know, they're not going to be beating the Mayo, they're not going to be beating they might put up the Roscommon, but they're not going to be beating Galway either. So it would be absolutely fantastic to see. There's no reason why it can't happen, but I think if Down are still in the Tailteann, and I think there's a few other teams going to come through with, I think it could be there. Kildare as well, and obviously Kildare have had a nightmare season thus far. Be very interesting, can Kildare get their house in order for the Tailteann, so on and so forth. But it'd be great to see, because after Sunday, Matthew, realistically, Sligo have nothing to play for in the county championship.
Yeah, exactly. So, and going to a comment here for Denise, will Leash be in the Tailteann? And they will be. They will be. There's will no be, doubt about that. We'll bring up the Leinster draw in a sec, but it's probably more than likely they'll be in the Tailteann Cup. But we'll move on to the Munster Championship now, and I'll bring up the draw bracket here. And before we get into the games here, this is a lot of controversy, and we discussed Down in the Tailteann Cup there. The reason Down are in the Tailteann Cup as it stands is because of the right-hand side of the Munster draw there. So you have Clare, who will play the winner of Tipperary and Waterford this week. Tipperary 30th in the Alliance League ranking, Waterford 32nd, Clare in 19th place. But the winners from that side of the draw will be in the Sam Maguire Cup, because they reached the provincial final. Obviously, Cork, Kerry, Limerick on the other side, you'd imagine Kerry will get past all those. But look at that draw there, John, for the right-hand side in particular. Do you think the championship is kind of lopsided because of that? Because look, considering Down beat Clare by 11 points in the Allianz League in that round 7 game, is that unfair on Down that they're in the Tailteann Cup and Clare will most likely be in the Sam Maguire because of a Munster draw?
It's funny, Matthew, when you're saying that, I just took like an inhale of breath. I could just feel my blood pressure rising with, I suppose, the unfair nature that's in the GAA, and obviously the league being our best competition. And how long more are we going to go with this absolute just madness of just, I suppose, unfairness and teams being in the wrong competitions? And obviously the Tailteann really is trying to kind of stamp all that out, like, but it's unfair. It is flawed at this stage. And like, how many years have we really been kind of, you know, harping on about this and going on about this? And it is unfair in a lot of counties. And obviously we'll be touching on to the Munster games now in a couple of minutes, but like it just the likes of Clare and the likes of, you know, even Limerick had a nightmare of a league campaign, and Tipperary, like, they're so far away from, like, even talking about a Munster championship. It's going to be Kerry's year again this year, and obviously you can nearly, I know obviously your own Cork are building the bridges, and hopefully they can, please God, get into the Munster conversation once again very soon. But yeah, look, it's just how many podcasts have me and you been on at this stage about probably the unfairness for a lot of counties, and, you know, positioning not being in the right position, and it's nonsense really at this stage.
It is, to be honest. I know you have a great time for Clare football, obviously, but even the last year's Munster final against Kerry, they were absolutely outclassed in that game. And yeah, even in the All-Ireland series, they lost every single one of their games. So,
yeah,
like, it is unfair. There's no doubt about that, with Dawn performing
and
so
minus the services of Colm Collins and, of course, Owen Cleary as well. Like, and Owen shot the lights out for Clare for a number of years, and I think Owen basically left the panel because, you know, Colm Collins finished up. So, tough stations.
It is, like, Keenan Sexton leaving as well. Keane O'D, I think there was 11 players on the panel. Like, that's just
crazy.
Mad. Yeah. So Clare are probably going to have a tough year in the All-Ireland. They will get past Waterford to Tipperary, but we'll get onto those games later. We'll get on to the first Munster game. And speaking of kind of games that will not provide any relevance this weekend, well, it should be an easy win for Cork, let's be honest. It is on Sunday at 2 p.m. I am going to this in Parky Cove, so there will be stats on the game on Sunday. But, like, Cork had a good end to the league after obviously losing to Cavan. They beat Fermanagh, they beat Kildare, beat me, drew against Armagh, and they're going to the championship nice and steadily in fairness to John Cleary's side. Limerick, I counted 9 games in this season, and there will be a preview on the Limerick Voice as well. I did say a preview from the angle of Limerick, trying to find some positives. But at the same time, they've played 9 games this year across McGrath Cup and the league. They've lost every single one of the games. They finished bottom of Division 3. Yes, Danny Nevin's come back into the team in the forward line. Josh Ryan is an interesting dynamic to go into goalkeeper for Limerick. But you'd imagine anything other than a Cork win here is so, so unexpected.
Nah, Cork will get the job done on Sunday, and I suppose it kind of does go to show, and I suppose you're probably better placed to kind of go for this game, but I'll give him a few thoughts on it anyway. But, you know, Limerick, from the Limerick end of things, I think when Billy Lee did leave the Limerick Post, and obviously your fellow pundit David Byrne and the JMOC podcast, David probably would be of the same opinion, probably when, very much like Colm Collins with Clare, when Billy Lee left Limerick, I think that's probably when the party was over to a degree. Like, there's been so many players leaving that couldn't buy a result at the minute, that couldn't buy a win. It is so unfortunate. And it just goes to show, when such a big voice, when such a big figure, when such a big name kind of does leave a dressing room, it does go to show how much of an impact it kind of can have in a team. So look, it's a tough station for Limerick. Obviously, Limerick hurling's flying, and that's what they're up against really. And obviously, so much focus goes into the hurlers, and this was the Fupplers, unfortunately, can be an afterthought at times, and that has to be so unfortunate for them. But Cork will get the job done on Sunday. I think you'll be happy, man, on Sunday. It's a good game to start with. It kind of stretches the legs for Cork. Finished up very well in the league, in fairness, gave us a serious game in Parky Cueve. My God, that game went down to the complete nutter wire. It was a fantastic game against you guys. And then you just finished the league really well. I've said this to you numerous times, it'd be great to see a good Cork team coming back. We always remember the Daniel Goulins, the Colm O'Neills, the Fintan Ghouls, the Graham Canties, all these great players. So I think everyone would love to see Cork coming back. The current players that's there at the minute, like, I've always liked Brian Hurley. Obviously, Brian's been in around the panel since, 2013, obviously been plagued with injuries. And the other full forward, the name escapes me. Corbett, and, you know, they've always had fantastic forwards, so I think you'll be always indebted to them. But look, I think you will, of course, get the job done on Sunday. You could be looking at 10 or 15 points. I think you'll have a nice day on the stats, because I think Cork will hopefully be racking up a big score. But from the Limerick end of things, it's just so unfortunate for them, because the wheels fell off when Mr. Billy Lee left.
It is unfortunate, and obviously Cork, I predict Cork will win the game. I think, like, consistency is a problem with the Cork team, but they should beat Limerick, no doubt about it. But it is unfortunate what has happened in Limerick since Billy Lee left. Like, I think Ray Dempsey came in last year, quit mid-season. Mark Fitzgerald, he's obviously gone on to Clare now, who were very close in fairness in promotion to Division 3. If you'd feel like if Limerick kept him on, then maybe things would be different this season. But they went with Jimmy Lee, kind of the safe option. But apparently there are some very good performances in Limerick. Like against Antrim and Down, they lost by 7 points and 16 points respectively in the first two games. They've lost by a point or two in the last few, so maybe there's a few positives to go into Limerick before the Tailteann Cup. But for this game in general, I think Cork should be easy enough winners. But you mentioned the importance of a good Cork team. I think Conor Coon had mentioned that during the week. Noel O'Leary mentioned it as well on Echo Live, written by Barry O'Mahony. Check that out if you haven't already. Like they're absolutely right. Like, Kerry, it will not only help Gaelic football in general to have a good Cork team, and it won't just help Cork. It will help Kerry to a degree as well, because they'll have a test in Munster each and every season if Cork rise up to the levels where we know this team can go up to. So it is crucial to have a good Cork team back at the top table.
I'm not sure it is. Like, and I've fond memories of watching Cork. My God, as a young fella, I used to buy the DVDs, and I'd be watching Cork against Kerry. And I don't know, did you ever get your hands on DVDs? But like, it was like the likes of 08, 07, 06, 09, 2010, 11. Like, oh my God. Like, I think me and you were probably nippers at this stage. Well, young lads at this stage, but piping hot days in Fitzgerald Stadium and Parky Queeve. Like, Daniel Goulding, go. I know obviously Daniel, a fellow pundit of ours, probably blowing smoke up his backside there, but he was just incredible. You had the Gooch going up against, you know, the likes of Graham Canty, you had Paul Galvin and Graham Canty just tearing, just tons of each other. Noel O'Leary, like, just unbelievable battle. So it would be fantastic to see a good, strong Cork team again, because I think years ago, my God, they treated us to some unbelievable battles. And even just for yourself and Dan, just to see a strong Cork team again, because I know how big of followers you two men, of course, would be off the Cork team. So it'd be fantastic to see. We always talk about the population and obviously the fantastic stadium that is Super Value Park. We've always had to mention Super Value Park. But no, it would be great to see, because I think the Cork of old, I'm presuming the likes of obviously Dan and Graham Canty and Colin O'Neill and all the boys watching on at the minute, saying, right, you know, let's try and get this show on the road again. And obviously the likes of Mr. Walsh, is it Liam Walsh that's in there at the minute, coaching the Cork lads. So he's a serious coach. We know about the quality that man brings. So Kevin Walsh, sorry, yes. So look, it'd be great to see. It would be honestly great to see. He's to get the job done on Sunday, and you know, let's see Cork push on from there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Cork should win this game in general. And we'd hope to see a good Cork team. But speaking of the other side of the Munster draw, we'll go on to this though. Waterford against Tipperary, 3 o'clock on Sunday in Fracker Field, I think it is. Look, Waterford, this is probably the best opportunity that they have all season for a win, to be honest with you. Tipperary had a poor enough league campaign, finished third from bottom in Division 4. These are statistically the two worst teams on the island of Ireland other than Kilkenny in football. So they're playing each other in the Munster Championship this weekend. I don't think much people would be actually tuning in or going to this game, because obviously these are two proud hurling counties rather than football. Like, it's a hard one to predict, because Waterford have a home advantage. Tipperary appear to have better players, but these sides drew with each other in the league. So it is a big opportunity for both of them, because the winner of this plays Clare and the winner of that game goes into the All-Ireland series. So it is a big game to a degree.
Yeah, no, it is a big game. And I think from the Waterford and things, like, what a feeling it would be to look on Twitter and Scorpio and see Waterford potentially getting the win here, or even running Tipperary close. Because obviously, look, I've said it on numerous podcasts, said it on my own podcast, your podcast, Aaron's podcast, it would be fantastic to see Waterford get a win. Because, like, I follow this guy, he's a James Mansfield, and he goes to all the Waterford football games, and he's a real proud Waterford football supporter, and it can't be easy up there. And we know, and I always say, the effort and time and the time management that the Waterford lads put in, like, it's great seeing. You know, as you said, this could be a fantastic time to beat this Tipperary team. You know, Tipperary aren't, neither team are so far away from winning a Munster Championship, and it's so funny to say that after Tip winning in 2020. But yeah, look, I think, unfortunately, Tip probably will get the job done here. What a buzz, what a feeling it would be to look online and see Waterford potentially getting a result. But I think Tipperary will get over the line here, maybe by about 5 or 6 points. And unfortunately, it's just Waterford's. I seen an article there during the week. I think Waterford, who was it? Was it the Waterford manager, Paul Mansfield? Is it Paul?
Paul Shankey.
Paul Shankey, he did say that the Waterford footballers hopefully will not end up like the Kilkenny lads, but I don't know, it has to be a tough station up there.
It is, to be honest. So I think Evie Fitzgerald, who was in the post last season, actually said that it'd be tough for Waterford to even get a win in the next few years. So if they win this game, maybe the perception will change, and we'll hope that Waterford win the game. Obviously, we hope Tipperary all the best as well, but like for Watford to get a win, it'd be just brilliant, for buzzing for the whole championship in general, just to see a story like that.
I know it would be fantastic, and as I said, I don't know, whatever you're at in Stoneleigh, if you're heading to a game, or if you have the radio on, or I don't know, if you're having a cup of coffee before a game, you're looking on Twitter and you're flicking through your phone, and the results are coming in that Waterford are getting the job done. My God, I think it would put a smile on everyone's face. But Matthew, unfortunately, I just can't see it happening.
Yeah, and speaking of championships that have an inevitable ending, we'll move on to the Leinster Championship, as Aaron would describe it as the most entertaining championship in the whole country.
Could be the most. Just get rid of Dublin.
ban the dubs. But you heard it here in this podcast. But look at the Leinster draw there. Obviously, Dublin will. Goes without saying, they'll probably make it to the Leinster final with ease. And then you look at the other side of the draw. What's interesting in this, actually, and we'll see in the next few weeks, Kildare could save their season. They could avoid the Tantalus Cup if they beat Westmeath and Louth, Westmeath or Wicklow and Louth, or Carlow or Wexford. So, like, Kildare could still save their season looking at that. And we'll have to see how it transpires in the next few weeks, considering Meath are on the other side of the draw as well. So it is a huge opportunity for Kildare. We'll move on to the first game on Sunday. Chronologically, we'll move on with times and things like that. So the first one at 2:30 is Wexford against Carlow in the preliminary round on Sunday at 2:30. And the winners of this play Louth in the quarterfinal. Who would fancy their chances, to be fair, Wexford or Carlow? Well, if Wexford had a decent league campaign at Division 4, obviously missing out due to that penalty decision against Leitrim, Carlow, the wheels kind of came off with this game in the league, actually. Wexford beat Carlow by 114-7 points, I think it was, in the league. And Carlow just ended their promotion push then. So the form book would say that Wexford would be winning this game. But Carlow wants revenge after the league loss that they suffered at the hands of the Yellow Bellies.
Yeah, it's so funny, obviously, as you say at the start of this, like talking about the Leinster Championship, and it's just such a crazy kind of mindset going into, I suppose, a competition where we know the winners are going to be, and that, like, Dublin have won the last, what are we talking, since 2010, so 13 or 14 Leinster Championship. So, it's just... You know, it's crazy. Like it's like talking. How could you come? What would you compare the Leinster Championship and talk about these games when you know who's going to be the winner? It's the most messed up situation I think you're going to have when you're following football. But yeah, this game on the weekend. Look, I suppose it's filling a fixture. It's a tick in a box for the Leinster Council, the Leinster Championship. But I think Wexford very good throughout the league. And like, my God, I think I gave him a bit of praise on Twitter. Ben Brosnan, the time is Ben Brosnan. 175 games for Wexford, like that is just incredible going. He's a podcast alone, so probably the power of that man, and obviously the longevity of him. So fair play to Ben. But I think Wexford and Carlow, I think Wexford could upset the odds here. I think they could be in for a win. I think they had a very good kind of league campaign. Again, like it's probably, as you said, the winners of this go on to play Louth. So, you know, like is it just a tick box exercise? Carlow as well, they'll be mad to, I suppose, kind of get the result as well. But no, I think Wexford. If you're doing a bit of a bet this weekend, I'd go for Wexford.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go for Wexford to win the game as well. But this will probably be the toughest out of the three Leinster Championship games to call this weekend. But having said that, I'm going to go for a Wexford win there. On to the next one of these, Longford against Meath in Glen Brothers Pierce Park on Sunday at 3 p.m. Like, the winners of this play Dublin, and we all know the inevitability there in a loss for either of these two sides. But in fairness, like, if Meath make it out of this game, I think they'll have Dublin and Partalton. So, like, Partalton will actually be bouncing. Navan, the town itself, will be bouncing be if the clubs come to town. So.
Yeah, no, it definitely will be great, and it's a funny kind of one going into this, like Longford and Meath, like you know, like there's like whoever nearly wants to lose, because obviously you're going to get bet in the next game regardless. But yeah, no, as you say, like obviously if Meath do get the job on Sunday, job done on Sunday, like that'll be fantastic. Jeez, you nearly go that yourself, Meath in Dublin. Obviously, I know it's not the rivalry of years ago, but a packed Partalton is a nice place to go to. But I think Meath will get the job done. Obviously, playing a higher division than Longford this year, Longford. Tough place to go at times. It's a sticky venue down there. But I think Joe Sheridan will obviously get down to this game, and I think he'll be happy man leaving. Meade, the game we played against Kingsman Brefty there, a couple of weeks ago. I thought the likes of Shane Walsh, you know, could have been seen a lot better from him. I think Jordan Morris, I'm not sure on his fitness. Morris will be interested to see play any part this weekend. He's obviously playing his club football here in Cavan, but I was impressed by Meath against us. I thought they defended very well. They worked very hard. They snuffed out Paddy Lynch. So I think they will get over the line on Sunday. But again, as you say, you know, they're playing the potential to do get the job done. It's a shot to nothing the next day out. So look, I don't know. Again, I said a couple of minutes ago, the problem's in front of us and we don't want to fix it. But it's crazy stuff. Like, look, me get the job done, and then they're out the next day against Dublin. And Dublin obviously go on and beat them. So it is insanity, as Mr. McGarty has said over the years.
Yeah, exactly. So, and of course, Kevin McGarty on your podcast, like, he's well spoken in fairness. So, he'll definitely speak about this once Meath come up against Dublin, of course, or Leash and Offaly, for that matter, the semi-finals. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Meath win, and hopefully Partalta will be bouncing for that game, because the championship definitely needs the Leinster championship in particular. The final game of the Leinster championship here is Westmeath against Wicklow. In Westmead on Sunday, or on Portlaoise, I think it is, at 3:30. I'm not sure why it's on Portlaoise, but there you go. It's on at 3:30 in this. Westmead obviously won the Division 3 title, deservedly so, last week against Down. Wicklow relegated to Division 4. Two sides going in opposite directions completely. You would expect Westmead to go on and win the game, but Wicklow, with Westmead celebrating well last week, can Wicklow maybe catch them on the hop?
Yeah, Westmead and Wicklow, like, it'll be interesting. No, I think Westmead, I think it's probably one of the more obvious results of the weekend. Westmead will get the job done. Obviously, Oisín McConville will be setting the stall out for this particular game. But I think Westmead, they've just too much quality for Wicklow. Obviously, gone up to Division 2 now, and that's probably where they belong. We've seen Luke Loughlin there last weekend. He had a great game. And obviously, John Heslin still coming on for Westmead. The longevity of that man is crazy. And obviously, Desi Dolan has said at the start of this podcast, obviously, no beer, no celebrations after the game, unfortunately, for the Westmead lads. So it was unfortunate. So the head was down, and obviously Desi was saying that it's the biggest game of the year this weekend, and rightly so. But yeah, Westmead will get the job done on Sunday. I think it could be handsome. It could be quite handsome as well. You could be looking at 10 to 12 points, I'd imagine. I think they'll stretch their legs, and yeah, poor Wicklow will be out of the Leinster Championship on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll have to go for a Westmead win as well, and they'll play Kildare in the quarterfinal as the draw goes. So yeah, that's all the championships wrapped up in football. So thank you, John, for coming on to the podcast today, and best of luck to Cavan against Monaghan this weekend.
Matthew, thanks very much. You're a gentleman. Thank you.
No bother, John. No bother. So after the football now, we will move on to the Allianz Hurling League final. So this is a big game between Kilkenny and Clare to decide who will win the Allianz Hurling League title for Division 1. It's hard to believe that the Allianz League is still at the same time as the Football Championship, but there you go. And as mentioned before, and it is Clare against Kilkenny in Semple Stadium on Saturday evening at 7:15 on TG Carr. So, it should be an interesting game. This Clare haven't won the league since 2016. Kilkenny haven't won it since 2021, according to Wikipedia. So both sides will be hungry for a league title, considering the beast that is Limerick in the All-Ireland Series. But Kilkenny beat Limerick in the semi-final. Really well done to them. Unbelievable achievement to beat Limerick. And Clare beat Tipperary quite comfortably in the semi-final as well. And Denise says here, Clare win all over. We'll have to see how it plays out. But we will look at the stats and scores for both of these sides right here, right now. So we'll start off with Clare, and we'll look at their scores en route to the Allianz Hurling League final. So on the screen here, so as you can see on the screen, Aidan McCarthy is their top scorer with 26 points in the Allianz League. Mark Rogers with 19. David Fitzgerald has done brilliant around the middle of the park, goal at 16 points. You have David Reedy with 10 points as well. And this is without the services of Shane O'Donnell and Tony Kelly. And mentioning Shane O'Donnell and David McInerney to that degree as well, apparently they're the 26 for Clare for this game. So there's a sign that they are coming back forward. So well done to Clare for getting it back into the team. And on to their run to the final. They beat Cork, beat Waterford, drew against Wexford, obviously beat Kilkenny in the previous encounter in Cusack Park and Ennis by 19 points to 16, beat Offaly and beat Tipperary. So they've won every game except the Wexford one, which was a draw. Probably the most worrying aspect for Clare, though, is they've only scored two goals in their run to the final. Only the Shane Murray goal against Cork and the Dave Fitzgerald scorcher of a goal against Tipperary. They've scored a total of 2 goals and 127 points. That's 22 points per game. And they've conceded 7 goals and 96 points, 117 per game. And look, that is a concern for Clare. I know they're without Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell for this game, but it is a concern that they go into this game scoring that little amount of goals. But at the same time, it is a national trophy on the board. They've won every game except the Wexford game coming into this one. So you would expect Clare to turn up for this final, especially with Limerick on the horizon in the championship. We'll look at the Kilkenny scores now before we get into a match day prediction. So TJ Reid has scored a total of 1 goal and 25 points. And bear in mind, the Ballyhale Shamrocks man has come in for the last few games for Kilkenny in the league. Billy Drennan scored a total of 2 goals and 20 points. Just behind is Owen Cody with 2 goals and 19. You have Adrian Mullen on 16 points. And this is the worry for Kilkenny, because after Adrian Mullen, there seems to be very low scores. I know John Donnelly has scored 9 points, but then you have Luke Hogan with a goal and 2 points. Like, there's been only 5 players on the Kilkenny team that have scored over 5 points, which is kind of a worry for Derek Ling's side. There's no doubt about that. And we look at their run to the final here. They drew against Wexford very much like Clare, 2 goals to and 16 points apiece. They beat Cork in Super Value Parky Keep by a point, beat Offaly, lost to Clare, beat Waterford, and obviously beat Limerick in that brilliant game in Super Value Parky Keep the last day out. They've scored a total of 6 goals and 114 points. That's 119 per game. And they've conceded 7 goals and 95 points, 116 per game. So interesting that both sides have conceded 7 goals en route to the Allianz Hurling League final. So it should be a very interesting encounter that way. In terms of a match day prediction, I'm going to go for Clare. I've said it from the start of the league that they need a national trophy on the board, and I think they're going to win the National Hurling League this year for the first time since 2016. So Brian Lohan's team might get a trophy on the board before the Munster Championship kicks off against Limerick on April 21st. So yeah, I'm going to go for a Clare win here on the podcast. So that's the Hurling Leagues done. Obviously, all the Hurling Leagues were last weekend, so no need to discuss other ones. So we'll move on to the LGFA this weekend. Obviously, there's no Camogie this week, so it's strictly on LGFA. And there is the league finals this week, along with Galway and Waterford, which we'll get on to a bit. Rescheduled central relegation playoff there. So we'll move on to the first of the LGFA finals, moving from Division 1 downwards. We move on to Armagh against Kerry on Sunday at 3 p.m. in Croke Park. So it should be a great day out for both of these sides. Obviously, Armagh, as we'll see from their journey to the final, over the last few weeks, they have won every game, I think, except the Dublin game where they conceded 7 goals with playing with essentially a second team, whereas Kerry have been brilliant throughout in the league and obviously reached the All-Ireland final last term. We'll move on to Armagh's scores, first of all, to get a greater picture into this LGFA final. So as you can see on the screen there, Amy Mackin, 6 goals and 21 points. That is an incredible tally in 7 games. Kelly Mallon scored a total of 2 goals and 17. Ethan McCoy there with 2 goals and 6. Caroline O'Hanlon, who's playing for yet another season around the middle of the park for Armagh, with a goal and 4 points. And then you have players like Laura McConville, Emily Drewsey, Eve Lavery, Niamh Coleman. Some excellent players on the Armagh team. We'll move on to their journey to the final here. So they beat Waterford 2 goals and 8 points to 2 goals and 3. Beat Cork as well in Parky Rin. Beat Galway by 8 points to 6. Trash Mead, to be fair, by 2 goals and 12 points to 8 points there. And against Kerry in the previous encounter between the two sides, Armagh won that. 3 goals and 14 points to 113. They beat Mayo by a point. And obviously that game against Dublin, where they played a second team, losing 7 goals and 10 points to 1-4. They've scored a total of 11 goals and 63 points. And 63 points, excuse me. With 2.8 on average per game, they've conceded 13 goals and 54 points, but albeit 7 of those goals were against Dublin. If you discount the Dublin game, they conceded 6 goals overall. So not too bad in 6 goals in 7 games. That's about a goal a game there. But obviously that average has been put up to 2 because of the amount of goals they conceded against the Dubs. We'll move on to Kerry scores here. And obviously, Louise Niever-Hurtig is the top scorer for the Kerry ladies footballers with 1 goal and 19 points. That's 1-9 from play. Emma Dineen has been brilliant in this league campaign, scoring a total of 2-12. Niamh Carmody with 16 points. Hannah O'Donoghue has been brilliant as well for Kerry with 2 goals and 10 points. And then you have other players like Katie Brosden, Jaden Lucy, Danielle O'Leary, Anna Galvin, Naomi Cahoor, Lorraine Scanlon, also excelling for the Kerry team. We'll move on to their journey to the final and look at their games here. They beat Dublin on the first day out by 1-8 to 6 points in Parnell Park. They then beat Waterford by 2 goals and 11 points to 2 goals and 5 points. Thrashed Cork in Aston Stack Park in Tralee, 2-14 to 7 points. They drew against Mayo by 8 points apiece. Lost Armagh, obviously. Beat Meath by 1-15 to 5 points. And then they beat Galway, 2-11 to 12 points. They've scored a total of 9 goals and 80 points in Division 1, an average of 112 per game, and they've conceded an average of 107 after conceding a total of 5 goals and 57 points. Moving on to the actual prediction for this game, it's a tight one to call, it really is. Armagh have been probably the best team in the league up until this point, or disregarding the Dublin game now because they play the second team, you can't read too much into that. However, I'm going to go for a Kerry win. They've won the league last year. They're experienced at this level in Croke Park. There is still question marks about Armagh in big games in Croke Park. There's no question mark about their talents. Ethan McCoy, Amy Mackin, and other players around the team as well, like Cardin O'Hanlon. There is no Kelly Mallon. There's no question that Armagh do have talent, but Kerry have experience, and there's no doubt about that. Reaching the All-Ireland final last year, being so close to the All-Ireland crown, the Brendan Martin Cup. So I am going to go for Kerry win on this podcast here. We'll move on to the other three LGFA finals before we move on to the essential relegation playoff between Galway and Waterford. We'll move on first to the Division 2 final in Croke Park, Kildare against Tyrone on Sunday at 1 p.m. And both of these sides wrapped up promotion on match day 5, more or less, because on match day 6 they played each other, and by then promotion was sealed, so these two dominated Division 2. There's no doubt about that. We'll look at their scores here on this podcast. So we'll look at Kildare's scores first of all. You could see there, Roisin Byrne, brilliant campaign from her. 3 goals and 28 points, 13 from Freeze there. Nasa Dooley with 2 goals and 10 points. Ellen Dowling, 2 goals and 9. And then you have players like Grace Clifford, who's been brilliant. Lara Curran, Aoife Rattigan, Trina Duggan, Ruth Sargent, Ellie O'Toole have been brilliant for Kildare in this campaign. We look at their journey to the final here. They beat Monaghan, beat Donegal, beat Cavan, quite comprehensively there, may I add. Beat Tipperary, beat Laois, drew against Tyrone in the last encounter, and beat Westmeath. So they won all their games except the Tyrone game, which probably epitomised their dominance in Division 2 of the Little National League. They scored a total of 2-8 per game, and they scored a grand total of 12 goals and 63 points, which is an incredible tally for Kildare. And they're on a winning run as well, obviously, after winning the Intermediate All-Ireland Championship last year, and they will be in the Leinster Championship alongside the likes of Laois, Meath and Dublin in the Championship this season. They've conceded an average of 1.5 per game. We'll move on to Tyrone's scores. Going on to this final, I think that's their journey to the final, so apologies. This is their scores here. So Maria Canavan has scored a total of 5 goals and 21 points. That's 2-9 from Place Ball. So that's a total of 3 goals and 12 points from play. Chloe McCaffrey's been brilliant in this campaign as well, with a total of 3 goals and 10. Emma Conroy, 1 goal and 11. Zoe Loughran with 2 goals and 4. Sasha Byrne with 2 goals and 2 points. Avy McHugh with 1 goal and 4 points. Aoife Horrisk with 1 goal and 3. And then you have Aoife Daly, and Caitlin Campbell in the defence has done really well for Tyrone in this campaign as well. We'll move on to their journey to the final, and they haven't been as dominant as Kildare have, but in fairness, they have been very dominant to an extent other than many teams in Division 2 in the league. They beat Westmeath by 2 goals and 9 points to 1 goal and 7. They beat Tipperary by a point, beat Monaghan, drew against Laois, beat Donegal, drew against Kildare, and they beat Cavan. So they won 5 games out of a possible 7, which is an incredible record for Tyrone. Obviously, they'll be in the Intermediate All-Ireland Championship this term. They've scored a total or an average of 2-9 per game and could see an average of 1-9. So moving on to the prediction for this game, I'm going to go Kildare. I think they've looked impressive since the Intermediate All-Ireland Championship last year. To be truthful to you, Tyrone, they didn't really stand their claim on the All-Ireland Intermediate Championship last season, so I'm going to go for a Kildare win in that game. So the winning run will continue for the Lily Whites. On to the Division 3 final. It is Roscommon against Clare on at 4 p.m. on Saturday, live at the TG Carr YouTube channel, the Sport TG Carr YouTube channel. That's the Division 3 final. Yeah, an interesting game between these two, because obviously these two, like Kildare and Tyrone, have been dominant from the very start in Division 3 and deserve promotion to Division 2. So we'll move on to Roscommon's scores, first of all, if I can get it up on the screen. So top of the list there is Laura Fleming with 2 goals and 19 points. Ashing Hanley with 2 goals and 16. You've Ashing Feely and Lauren Shanahar doing really well for Roscommon as well in the league campaign. And then you look at their journey to the final. They beat Down quite comprehensively, beat Loud, drew against Clare in the previous fixture between the two sides. They beat Sligo, Wexford, Offaly and Antrim as well. So they won 6 games out of a possible 7, scoring an average of 111 per game and conceding an average of 9 points. We'll move on to Clare and their scores in the Division 3 campaign. Fidelma Maranan, what a tally that is. 9 goals and 18 points. 1-4 from place ball. So that means 8 goals and 14 points from play. That is incredible. And we know this player was very, very good from the league from the All-Ireland Championship Intermediate campaign last season. But that is an incredible tally. Teresa Collins with 4 goals and 3 points has been very good as well. Ailish Considine coming back from the AFLW has scored a total of 2 goals and 6 points on her mighty return. Chloe Maloney has been brilliant as well with 1-8, as has Ashin Reedy from midfield for the Banner County. Moving on to their journey to the final. They beat Wexford, beat Sligo, drew against Roscommon, as I mentioned before, beat Offaly, beat Loud, beat Antrim by 10 goals and 7 points to 7 points. That's a ridiculous score. And in that particular game, Fidelma Maranan scored a total of 4 goals and 4 points, which it beggars belief more than anything. And they did lose to Down in the last game. So they won a total of 5 games out of a possible 7. And they lost 1 and drew 1. But the game they did lose against Down, the job was already done. They scored an average of 3 goals and 7 points per game, conceding an average of 1-6. Moving on to the official prediction, I'm going to go for a Roscommon win here. They finished top of the league. They've won 6 games out of 7, which is not an easy thing to do. So I'm going to go for a Roscommon win there. And watch out for Ashing Hanley, who's a very good player, very good young player, Laura Fleming as well, and Ashing Feely for the Rossies. So I'm going to go for a Roscommon win there. Moving on to the last LGFA League final, it is Carlow against Limerick on at 2 p.m. on the TG Carr YouTube channel. And before we get into the scores, just a shameless plug about the Limerick Voice as well. I did do a preview on this game for the Limerick Voice, tailored because of Limerick obviously reaching this LGFA final. Check that out if you haven't already. He's on the brilliant Limerick Voice website at the moment, so check that out if you haven't already. So we will move on to scores and stats now. So we'll move on to Carlow scores first to preview this final. Cleona Nishi, Rachel Sawyer and Sarah Doyle have been by far Carlow's most threatening players in this campaign. Cleona Nishi in particular, 4 goals and 26 points. Rachel Sawyer has not a bad amount either, with 3 goals and 19 points. Sarah Doyle with 2 goals and 12. Obviously, Maeve O'Neill with 2 goals and 2, including a last-gasp winning goal in the semi-final against Fermanagh. And we'll mention that in the journey to the final in a sec. But that needs to be taken into account as well. Speaking of the journey to the final, this is it for Carlow. They beat Derry, drew against Fermanagh the first day out, drew against Longford, beat Kilkenny by 3 goals and 13 points to no score. So that was a good win there. Beat Wicklow, lost to Leitrim, lost against Limerick. So that was the last meeting between the two sides. And obviously beat Fermanagh thanks to that Maeve O'Neill last-minute goal. They've averaged a score of 2.9 per game and have averaged a concession rate of 1.9 per game. Moving on to the opposition to Carlow, and that is Limerick, of course. Irish Kennelly is their top scorer with 2 goals and 16 points, with 2.13 from play. Deborah Murphy with 2.10, Cuiva McGrath 11 points. Roisin Ambrose from midfield has been in sensational form as well. Obviously nominated for Junior Player of the Year last year as well. So Limerick do have a very good group of players there at their disposal. Look at their journey to the final. They drew against Wicklow on the first day out, beat Derry, beat Kilkenny, drew against Longford, lost to Leitrim and Fermanagh, but then saved their promotion bid by beating Carlow in that game, 1-11 to 1-9. So that would be at the back of Carlow's minds, no doubt about that. And obviously they did beat Leitrim by 2-10 to 1-11, thanks to an Irish Kennelly 67th minute winner. That was an incredible game. Both semi-finals actually were decided by last-minute goals, which is absolutely incredible in its own right. Limerick have scored a total of 1 goal and 8 points per game and have conceded 1-7, so that's an impressive record to an extent as well. I know I've been reporting for the Limerick Voice and stuff like that, and obviously from a personal standpoint, I'd be hoping Limerick will win the game. However, I think Carlo will just have enough. Cleone, she's in outstanding form. Rachel Sawyer is as well. So is Sarah Doyle. And I think that would be enough for Carlo to get over the line. And obviously, that is at the end of the preview because there is one more game to discuss. It's the rescheduled Division 1 game between Galway and Waterford on Sunday at 2 p.m. in Duggan Park in Ballinasloe. Look, this is a relegation 4-pointer if there, or 6-pointer because there's 3 points in there. For an LGFA win. Look, I think this is a big game for both sides. And it, just for context, Waterford have to win this game to stay up. A draw would be enough for Galway to stay up. Cork are already relegated down to Division 2. But who will join them? This is a tough one to call. Obviously, Waterford have had, you know, great escapes in the past. Galway have some very good players, albeit have lost some experienced campaigners such as Roisin Leonard and Maria Choiga. They do have brilliant players, no doubts about that. Galway, the likes of Aoife O'Rourke, if she plays in this game, like the Kilcurran Clonburn girls, like Hannah Noon, Lindsay Noon, Ava Noon, will they play in this game? And Nicola Ward, like Louise Ward, there are some very good players in the Galway team. And on paper, Galway look like the most likely outcome to go on and win this game. But Waterford have been in this situation before. And Laura McGregor's a good player there. Kellyanne Hogan. There are some excellent players in this Waterford team. Mairead O'Brien, obviously, she was part of the Ashburn Cup winning team for UL. She plays football as well. Very good footballer. She scored a total of 3 goals and 2 points in Division 1. So definitely one to watch from play and a goal getter in this team. This is such a tough one to call because there's so much on the line in this. There's Division 1 football on the line. I'm going to squeak it. I'm going to go for a shock victory here. I'm going to go for Waterford to go out and win this game. Look, Galway have the better players. I do think that. And I do think the Kilcurran Clonburn girls will provide a great impetus for the Galway team. But I think Waterford have been on the edge so many times and they've dragged themselves out of it. So I'm going to go for a Waterford win. And they will survive, according to my prediction, in Division 1. And Galway will go down with Cork to Division 2. So, after about 1 hour and 25 minutes, that is the preview. Thanks to John McMahon for coming on for the football preview and hope you enjoyed the hurling and the LGFA preview as well. Give the video a like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Follow Gaelic Statsman on Instagram, all that as well, and TikTok. And follow John's channel, of course, the JMAC Podcast on Twitter, and subscribe to his YouTube channel. Some very good content there. Obviously, I'm a pundit on that channel as well, so check that out if you haven't already. And until the next video, guys, I'll see you then and enjoy the championship games this weekend.